Thank you, Dan. I'm humbled by those comments and sincerely appreciate that, and don't feel worthy to stand before you today and share what I feel led and Sorry. There we go. Sorry about that. No, I truly am humbled by Dan's comments, and I'm humbled by the opportunity to stand before you tonight, and don't feel worthy. I think every time I stand to deliver what I feel is the words, the message that's been given to me. A lot of times, and you hear it multiple times from people, we say, you know, this sermon is more meant for me than it is probably for you. I would tell you that this sermon is, I guess I would ask you, don't take this as a sermon per se. I want to spark some thoughts and I want to spark some dialogue in your mind and I'd encourage you to think on these things and maybe help me, if nothing else, help me in my thought and the way that I think through this. Our brother Dan mentioned the word, the golden rule, and originally my slide, the first slide that I had was going to be the golden rule, and at the last minute I changed it to love thy neighbor, and it's just a something that's been on my mind and kind of running through my mind a lot lately. And so, here we go. So I want to start, and I found this quote, and actually I was trying to look up how to best define the golden rule. And we hear that phrase, and if as our brother Dan said, or if I say to you, you know, what is the golden rule, what would you say? Say it louder, right? Do unto others as you would have them do unto you, right? And so, you know, and so I've been thinking a lot about that lately, and I've been thinking about, you know, the pictures that you see there hopefully spark some thought. And what I tried to find in the picture in the bottom left corner was probably, I don't know, 6 months ago, I was up in Portland, and a month ago, I was in California and I was traveling, and a month ago, I was in Seattle, saw the same thing. And this last week, I was down in Houston and I saw the same thing. And what I saw is this homelessness that is extremely rampant. When I was in Portland, I was in a hotel in downtown Portland. I had an early flight out in the morning, and as I was driving from my hotel to go to the airport, there was just tents all over the place. And I mean, I'll be honest, it shocked me to see the amount of tents that were set up in downtown Portland, completely covering the sidewalks and just covered through the downtown area. When I was in California maybe 30 days ago, I was traveling from, I had to go to Seattle, and I saw it in Seattle. And then I flew down to Sacramento, and I drove from Sacramento down to Los Angeles. And following along the interstate, basically from Sacramento, then driving down, I was driving through the kind of the valley there and driving through that area. And along the interstate, in the cities that you would drive past, you would see tents set up right alongside the interstate. And my point isn't to talk about tents per se. You can look at the picture in the right, and purposely you don't see any faces. But you see, probably, what's your assumption when you look at the picture of those? I'm going to say they're teenagers, they're kids. What's your assumption when you see those pictures? Troublemakers, maybe, right? They're probably up to no good. There's probably something bad going on. And I've seen this in a couple things. You know, how many times are we walking around with our masks on, right? And I can't see DA's face right now, so I don't know if he's smiling, if he's frowning, right? I don't know what that look is. You know, and I find myself a lot of times, Michelle and I live in Lee Summit, I go to the Lee Summit Hy-Vee, and I'm walking in, I'm constantly still smiling at people even with my mask on, right? And how many of you do that? And you catch yourself, well, they can't see me smiling, right? What does that matter? I was trying to look up this definition of the golden rule, and I kind of found this. I liked it. It says, we should recognize the respective dignity of our fellow man and not forget we are all capable of inflicting immoral actions. This is vital in following the commandments of God and creating a more virtuous world. You know, in 3 Nephi, the 5th chapter, I'm just going to read from 85 to the 92nd verse. But I say unto you that ye shall not resist evil, but whosoever shall smite thee on thy right cheek, turn to him the other also. And if any man will sue thee at the law and take away thy coat, let him have thy cloak also. And whosoever shall compel thee to go a mile, go with him twain. Give to him that asketh thee, and to him that would borrow of thee, turn thou not away. And behold, it is written also that thou shalt love thy neighbor and hate thine enemy. But behold, I say unto you, love your enemies, bless them that curse you, do good to them that hate you, and pray for them which despitefully use you and persecute you, that ye may be the children of your Father which is in heaven. For he maketh his sun to rise on the evil and on the good. Therefore, those things which were of old time, which were under the law, in me are all fulfilled. Old things are done away, and all things have become new. Therefore, I would that ye should be perfect, even as I, or your Father, which is in heaven, is perfect. You know, and I like I said, I want to spark a thought, and maybe we can, you know, think on it, stew on it, and next time we're together, let's have the conversation. But I want to learn from you. I want to learn from my brothers and sisters. You know, how do we love our neighbor in a time like we live in today? So I have two pictures up there, and these are personal experiences in these locations. You know these locations. So the first one on the left was Nolan Road and 70, the Quick Trip. Everybody knows it, right? You've been there. You've gone in and gotten a drink, or you've gotten gas there. And the one on the right is the Hy-Vee at Nolan and 40 Highway. And so, you know, admittedly, I'm gonna tell you just some of my own imperfection, weakness, something I struggle with. So the first one on the left was at a Quick Trip, and it was one night. It was late. I shouldn't say it was late. It was late. We were playing pickleball over at the Malones, and I left there, and I had to get gas. I was in Michelle's car. I had to get gas. I pulled up at the Quick Trip there, and just kind of standing, and it was, I don't know what was going on, but there was just some kind of commotion. I could hear somebody off in the distance, and something was going on, and two guys were kind of arguing with each other, one guy in a car and one guy not. And so, you know, I wasn't really paying attention, and all of a sudden, I look over, and there's this guy standing there beside me. And you know, this guy walks up, and so this is maybe a month or so ago, so I mean, we're dealing with COVID, and when I'm driving in my car, I don't have a mask on. I jump out of my car. I'm just getting gas. I don't have a mask on. This guy walks up, gets pretty close to me, and I could smell the guy, and it was pretty strong, pretty pungent, and the guy walked up and he said, I take it back. It wasn't when we were playing pickleball because it was raining. I remember it specifically raining, and the guy said, I'm going to a hotel over off of Nolan Road or 40 Highway, and I need a ride. So put yourselves in that situation, right? You don't know the guy. You can smell the guy. You know probably a rough life. And you know, whatever's going on, and I know I'm... You know, I'm not trying to be judgmental, but you know, I stood there and the guy said, I need a ride. Do you give him a ride? So what do you do? You know, what do we do in the, you know, in the, I'm going to turn off, I don't know if you saw that notification, I'll turn them off my Wi-Fi. But what do you do? Right? What was the golden rule? Do unto others. You know, I had an experience, and this isn't about me, I promise it's not, but I'm just trying to spark some ideas. You know, I grew up and I went to young people's, and I had leaders, an example that was we would have piled the guy, we would have had a carload of kids, Randy, and we would have piled the guy in the car and we would have drove him there, wouldn't we? Right? And I'd like to look at it and say, hey, there's different times and there's different things. I work in a part of town. My office is down at I-70 in Manchester. Not a great part of town, very bad part of town. My office, in fact, looks out over a pretty rough part of town, and you can see a lot going on in the trailer park across from where my office is. And one night I walked out, and it was getting late. It was, I don't know, it wasn't dark yet, but it was getting pretty close, probably close to 6 o'clock, and there was this car parked just right at the entrance. And it's not a great part of town, and there was only like one person still in the office, and you know, there was that, just that prompting. You've been there, you've had that experience, and I saw it as a lady sitting there. She shouldn't have been sitting there. This wasn't a good part of town. I walked up, can I help you with something? And sure enough, she had a flat tire, had the opportunity to help her with her flat tire, but it's not that. It was all about the conversation that I got to have, and I had an awesome opportunity to talk to this lady. She told me her life. She told me about things going on, and you know, I drove home that night just feeling uplifted. You've been there. You've had that experience, right? And you know, even in this verse, Mark 10, the 45, you know, this is Christ speaking. He says, for even the Son of Man came not to be ministered unto, but to minister, and to give his life a ransom for many. And I'm trying to figure out, you know, how do we do this? What do we do? The example in the on the right at the Hy-Vee, and I don't know if Michelle knows this. This was kind of, it was one of these experiences where we got out of our car, and we were literally parked. I want to say we were in the aisle where the picture is taken, roughly. So if you've been in Hy-Vee on the left side, you know, there's two entrances, right? In the direction we're looking at the picture, there's the entrance on the left, the entrance on the right. We were parked over, kind of over past the entrance on the left. So we were somewhere in that aisle. It was dark. We got out of our car. And as we were walking up, and I don't know if Michelle saw this or heard it, but I heard a guy behind me kind of asking people as they were getting into their car if they could have a ride. He needed a ride somewhere. And when we walked out, I remember we walked out of the door on the right. I don't know if it's directional at that Hy-Vee or not, if you're supposed to end one and out the other. But as we walked out, I remember getting in the car. And as I was pulling out, I looked over and I saw the guy. He was still looking for somebody to give him a ride. So what do we do? And my intention here tonight is not to spark, you know, a guilty plea, or even not to encourage. I wouldn't encourage my wife. I wouldn't encourage sometimes my children, you know, to pick somebody up and give them a ride. This isn't a debate about or an encouragement of or a guilty trip of anything. You know, I'm just telling you admittedly where I'm struggling. Right? How do we love our neighbor? It's 2020. We live in crazy times. We look on everything in social media. It's nuts out there. And what I find is that so many times, even for myself, what I find is that what do we do when we see that person? What's our natural reaction? What do you do? When you see somebody, you know, go back to, you know, this first picture on the left or the picture on the right, you see, you know, this person climbing out of that tent, what do you do? You know, what I find so often is that for me, we automatically look at them and we start to judge them, don't we? Right? So this is a person that I don't know. You know, this person, I don't know if this person is going to injure me. I don't know what it is. But I look at it and I say, you know, what I find is so many times, and I think the opportunity, or at least the thought for me today is that sparking this is that loving our neighbor. Loving our neighbor as ourselves. And what I find so many times for my own self, again, is it's easy to look around this room and see, you know, I see my Aunt Michelle. I love my Aunt Michelle. I love spending time with my Aunt Michelle. I see my cousin Brad. I love my cousin Brad. I want to spend time with them. Right, I see your sister Neva, right? And she's fun-loving and funny and jovial, right? And I love that. And I can love every one of you in this room. But is the Lord calling us only to love everyone in this room? Right? What I truly believe is that the Lord is calling us to reach out and connect with people outside of this room. As we're driving down the road, you know, this lady that I saw, you know, I helped her with her tire. I didn't get her number, but you know what? I felt uplifted because I had an opportunity to engage with somebody that wasn't my dad. I can call my dad anytime and we can get into a good spirited debate and a good discussion, right? And I feel uplifted and I feel strong by that. But how do we engage with people around us? In Luke, the sixth chapter, just 27 through 33, but I say unto you, which hear, love your enemies, do good to them which hate you. Bless them that curse you, and pray for them which despitefully use you. And unto him that smiteth thee on the one cheek also, offer also the other. And him that taketh away thy cloak, forbid not to take thy coat also. Give to every man that asketh of thee, and of him that taketh away thy goods, ask them not again. And as ye would that men should do to you, do ye also them likewise. For if ye love them which love you, that what thank have ye? For sinners also those that love them. And if ye do good to them which do good to you, what thank have ye? For sinners also do even the same. You know, and continue to look at, you know, this sparking in our mind. You know, I don't have a long sermon. I don't have a lot of comments that I can share. I can tell you, though, that what is just heavy on my heart, and it's been heavy on my heart for quite a while, is that engagement of people. You know, I'm not even trying to say this so that, you know, if we engage with people, maybe we can get more people in. I believe that, but that isn't the thought that I'm trying to spark, right? What I'm trying to spark is that, and we heard it today, our brother Rick Olson at the East Local, his sermon was a Thanksgiving sermon. And I thought many times as he was going through his sermon, you know, so many times I thought he was going to touch on these comments that I've been thinking on. You know, I truly believe that if we're followers of Christ, we are ambassadors for Christ, right? And I know that you hear the phrase, we're preaching to the choir. I realize that if you're here on Sunday night, you know, on this night especially, there's a Chiefs game that's going to be on in a little bit. And so, you know, there's a lot of focus and energy, a lot of things. You know, there's a lot of reasons why. But recognize that I'm probably preaching to the people that very much so, you're not going to disagree with the things I'm saying. I know you're going to agree with. I'm not going to make you feel guilty. I'm not trying to do that. But I'm just trying to say, you know, as brothers and sisters, you know, let's come together and let's share ideas. Let's spark ideas. Let's spark a conversation. How do we love a neighbor in 2020? Right, I saw a video. Somebody at work had told me to watch this video, and Michelle and I, we went up to Wisconsin last weekend, and so not that I was watching a video as I was driving, but I watched a video somewhat as I was listening to a video as I was driving. And it was talking about this, it was called The Social Dilemma, and it talks about, you know, basically the connection of what social media has done. Number one is really it's anticipation of what you're doing. So Michelle always knows if I'm looking at something. So Michelle's Facebook is on my phone too. And Michelle always knows if I'm looking at something on Amazon, it's going to pop up and she'll say, hey, I see you're looking at such and such, right? I'm looking for a desk right now. And she's like finding all kinds of desks popping up on her feed, right? Or, you know, so much so where, you know, it's that anticipating what you're doing. And the social dilemma was talking about all of these things. But one of the things that it really kind of drove home and kind of reinforced is everything that we see going on within our society today, the angered, the angry, the hatred, you know, the us versus them, it's us against everybody, and on and on and on, and how this is feeding so much out there, right? And recognize how many times, you know, each one of you probably have an opinion on the election. I don't know, and I don't care, and we're not going to get into that conversation, right? But what's happening is that we in our society today, we're drawing a line with everything. And we're saying, you know, in so many instances, and you can see it all over the place, I don't care what you have to say because you are wrong. And I'm right. And so then as Christians, how do we deal with that in 2020? Right? How do we deal with there's race relations that is so toxic that it's scary? As Christians, how do we deal with that? Right? How do you see somebody that a stranger and you're walking along and you got your mask on? How do we smile? How do we engage? You know, I was thinking of the story, and not that this meant anything. It was just trying to draw to 1 Timothy. And, you know, this thought, and this is really kind of the thought that I want to leave with you and then encourage you to kind of think through some things through this. And teach me, help me understand, how do we do this better? You know, there is, if you remember, and I love the writing in Timothy, I love the study of Paul and everything that had gone on, you know, you know, at the time when, as I understand, when Paul was writing in Timothy, when he was writing to Timothy, you know, he had been in prison. He was under arrest for 2 years. I shouldn't say prison. He was under arrest for 2 years, and he had been shipwrecked in the island of Malta, and all these things that had gone on. And you know, I think there is this kind of this analogy or this thought in your mind is that, you know, for us as people, humans living today, you know, we're at risk of being shipwrecked, our faith of being shipwrecked. You know, we have this opportunity to engage. As I said, you know, we are all ambassadors of Christ, and we have an opportunity to engage with those. You know, I can tell you, in my job, as I go somewhere, you know, the normal way is that I get on the plane, I have headphones on, and I'm listening to something. I love to listen to books, I love to listen to different things, and so how easily is it to engage with somebody if you look over and you see them with their headphones on? It's not. And I think about that so many times, you know, what are those opportunities? I was in the Atlanta airport this last week. I was flying to Houston. I was in the Atlanta airport, and I was standing there I was just kind of standing around, and saw a young lady standing there. She was probably the age of Braden, and she had what looked like really comfy tennis shoes, and I love comfy tennis shoes. And so I said to her, I said, those are really comfy-looking tennis shoes. What are they? And I told Michelle about this, you know, and it sparked a conversation and found out more about her story, you know, and how many times do you do that, right? Or how many times do we just kind of go through life and we don't really want to engage? So how do we engage, right? How do we tell our gospel message, right? How do we tell that what got us to where we're at in our spiritual life? How do we engage with others around us? And I guess that is my plea for us tonight. You know, as ambassadors of Christ, you know, we have neighbors around us. We have communities where we work. We have incredible opportunities day in and day out. And so my hope for each one of us is that we are engaging with someone. Paul writes, and he says, "And I thank Christ Jesus, our Lord, who hath enabled me, for that he counted me faithful, putting me into the ministry. Who was before a blasphemer and a prosecutor and a persecutor, sorry, and injurious, but I obtained mercy because I did ignorantly in unbelief. And the grace of our Lord was exceeding abundant with faith and love, which is in Christ Jesus. This is a faithful saying and worthy of all exception, that Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners, of whom I am chief. Howbeit, for this cause I obtained mercy, that in me first Jesus Christ might show forth all longsuffering for a pattern to them which should hereafter believe on him to life everlasting. Now unto the King eternal, immortal, invisible, the only wise God, be honor and glory forever and ever. Amen. This charge I commit unto thee, son Timothy, according to the prophecies which went before on thee, that thou by them mightest war a good warfare. Holding faith and good conscience, which some have put away concerning faith, have made shipwreck, of whom is Hymenaeus and Alexander, whom I have delivered unto Satan, that they may learn not to blaspheme. And there's so many things, and you could get into multiple sermons that could really, from these verses and things that really come out. But you know, I recognize, you know, here is Paul, and Paul is saying, I am a sinner. Was Paul a sinner? Absolutely, right? He was human, right? And there's multiple examples throughout the Bible that we learned where we understand Paul is a sinner. And we understand, you know, I know that even for my own self, my weaknesses, my imperfections, the things that I do wrong, and sometimes I know that those are holding me down. One of the things that I find is that for me, a lot of times is, you know, they say early to bed, early to rise. I like to get up early in the morning. I go to bed early. I go, and a lot of times I'll go to bed, I'll lay in bed, and I'll kind of try to read. I'll fall asleep or I really like, you know, you can learn a lot watching a lot of videos, right? So I can get into watching videos. Maybe I'm just not a good reader. But, you know, how many times have you, if I go to sleep after something that kind of got me charged up or excited or concerned about something, what does that do to your sleep? Right? And so many times, you know, we think about those sins within our lives, those things that we fall and we stumble, and what does that do to us? You know, is that drawing us closer to Christ? Yes, we stumble. Yes, we fall. Yes, we make mistakes. But, you know, I think we're being challenged and we're being called and we're being challenged to recognize Christ as our leader today and our opportunity to further engage and connect with people. Romans, the second chapter, the first through the fourth verse. Therefore, thou art inexcusable, O man, whosoever thou art that judgest. For wherein thou judgest another, thou condemnest thyself, for thou that judgest doest the same things. But we are sure that the judgment of God is according to truth against them which commit such things. And thinkest thou this, O man, that judgest them which do such things, and doest the same, that thou shalt escape the judgment of God? Or despisest thou the riches of his goodness and forbearance and longsuffering, not knowing that the goodness of God leadeth thee to repentance? You know, and I saw this, and actually I hope our sister Manon doesn't mind that I am sharing this, but this was from a Facebook post that she put, and this is just a small paragraph of a portion that she wrote. So here's where respect comes in. We hear someone speak or we read what they write, and we form an opinion, as you very well may, about this post. We form an opinion based on our own perceptions, our own life experiences. We hear with ears that listen and interpret because of what we've lived. Two people can hear the same statement and come aware, away with two distinctly differing opinions as to the intent of the speaker. One hears from a place of past hurt. One hears from a place of security. One hears with compassion. One hears with negativity. And then there was a different quote that I found, and it says, put yourself in their shoes. Another call to empathy and understanding, another situation and point of view. This phrase calls upon us to picture ourselves as our fellow human and recognize the sovereignty and emotions of each individual. You know, I feel like that, at least for me, the Lord is calling me, or is calling us, I feel, is that, you know, our opportunity beyond just that easiness of life that we have right here in these four walls. I truly believe, you know, and I don't know what it means. I don't know how to do it. I don't know, you know, I go back to, you know, I'm not going to tell my wife when that guy walks up to her at the Quick Trip on 40 and Nolan, and it's 10 o'clock at night, to go ahead and give the guy a ride to the hotel. It's a scary place, you know. I don't know how we do this. But I am praying about it. And I think that, I know that we have a Lord that forgives us in the mistakes that we have made. I'm first of them. I've made a lot of them. And I know what I find is all too often I am, I love to be doing, I love to be working. I didn't enjoy the small conversation as much. I'm not a good, I mean, truth be told, I don't enjoy dinner Sunday to sit there and just have a conversation. I mean, if we're doing something, if we're working on something, sorry, you know, I mean, I find so many times, you know, my mind is on, okay, let's go, let's do something, let's go. And what I find is so many times that I miss those small opportunities. And I feel like the Lord is challenging me to continue to find those small opportunities to engage. And I would love to hear your input and help and challenge me on how we engage better. As brothers and sisters outside of these walls, and how we engage with those around us. Thank you.